friends, before we get into today's show, I have some really exciting news. I am an Amazon affiliate, and basically what that means is I have my own little Amazon shop, and I get a small commission every time you guys click on the links of the products I've selected, or buy them as well. If you buy them, I get a commission as well. If you want to help me out, which I would greatly appreciate it, you can go to realwithit.com/stufflylove. Again, that's realwithit.com/stufflylove, and just click on all those little links there, and you'll be helping me out a great deal. Thanks, guys. Hi, friends. Before we get into today's show, I have some really exciting news. I am an Amazon affiliate, and basically what that means is I have my own little Amazon shop, and I get a small commission every time you guys click on the links of the products I've selected, or buy them as well. If you buy them, I get a commission as well. If you want to help me out, which I would greatly appreciate it, you can go to realwithit.com/stufflylove. Again, that's realwithit.com/stufflylove, and just click on all those little links there, and you'll be helping me out a great deal. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin Wieters. We're a community that is committed to celebrating diversity and inclusion, providing and promoting disability education and awareness, and having fun too. Remember to rate and review the podcast and enjoy the show.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. My name is Devin Wieters. Today we have the most inspiring individual I have ever come across. His name is Dr. Paul. I am not going to try to pronounce his last name because I will butcher it, but he is the most inspiring individual that I have ever come across. Y'all are gonna need some Kleenex for this one. Y'all are not gonna leave the same people for this one. And I'm not being dramatic. He is just amazing. He's a speaker. He's a meteorologist. He's just the greatest human being, and he happens to have CP. So I will be hearing from you guys when you listen to this episode, I am sure. But for now, enjoy my conversation with Dr. Paul.
Tell us about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
I was born with cerebral palsy. I did not learn to walk till I was about 4 years old. So during those 4 years, my mom took me to about 7, 8, 9 doctors all over our state to see what was wrong, because I didn't have the diagnosis of cerebral palsy at the time. And most of the doctors took one look at me, shook their heads, and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Wachansky, there's really nothing to do. Paul will never be able to learn to walk." And I want to fast forward 23 years later, I'm in graduate school, and I'm going to a lecture by an orthopedist. I told my mom the orthopedist's name, and to her, it was not a fond recollection. That was the same orthopedist who told my mom years ago that I would never be able to learn to walk. Now I am in his audience, and my heart wanted very much to raise my hand. I would stand up from my seat. I eventually learned to walk. So I would stand up from my seat and I would say, "You were the orthopedist who told my mom years ago that I would never be able to learn to walk. Now here I am in front of you. Because my mom, I'm standing in front of you now. Because my mom found another orthopedist who provided what you could not. Hope for the patient. Because there was no reason for my mom to leave in disgust. Would I be standing in front of you today if my mom accepted your medical opinion at the time? My head just said, don't do this, Paul. You have medical students all around you. You don't want to disappoint an embarrassed speaker, all right? The medical students are so excited around you. Don't do this. Now my heart wanted to do it.
I like to say I wouldn't do that, but I probably would just pull him aside privately and say, look, I'm the patient that you took.
So you would go privately to the orthopedist, yes, after his program and explain to him that was what I wanted to do afterwards. All right. But at the end, I just listened to the program, my chin resting on my hand. And I decided to forgive him. I forgave him because I had all this anger inside, all this hate. And I just let it go because it wasn't worth it. But also, I needed to forgive myself for having negative thoughts about the orthopedist. So forgiveness is a two-way street. It's always a two-way street. And when we forgive someone, our life is so much better and so much brighter because we are not consumed by anger or frustration or hate. And I always looked at this challenge of cerebral palsy not as a disability. What if you take the three letters out of that word, disability? What are you left with?
Ability.
Exactly. Everyone has abilities. And that is exactly what we need to focus on. So this is not a disability, but we both have gifts. We both have the gift of cerebral palsy in life. And it's our attitude that lets us see that.
That's really powerful, Paul. Wow. I told you to tell us about yourself, not that. Okay, yeah, I'm just kidding. Oh. But that was really powerful. Wow. I don't even know where to go from there. Tell us the work you're doing to try to destigmatize disability.
That's a great question, Devin. The work I am doing is I'm going around to schools, colleges, and companies around my state and around the country, trying to share stories with them about motivation and perseverance, never giving up on your dreams, chasing your dreams, and being resilient in the face of adversity. Trying to give them a personal eye, trying to erase the stereotypes of disability because we all have challenges. Every single one of us has a challenge in our lives. But if we see our challenges as gifts, then we have the motivation and the perseverance to overcome them, to triumph over them. And what if we work hard, we eventually get to our dreams and goals in life.
So what was your biggest dream as far as what you wanted to do in your life?
That's an excellent question, Devin. My biggest dream in life is to help shatter stereotypes. Too many people these days focus on their disabilities, what they can do. I want them to learn to focus on what they can do because their capabilities are so important. When I was about 5 years old, my parents took me into a shopping center and I fell down right in the middle of the aisle. My father refused to pick me up. You know, I was asking him to help me up. and I was becoming frustrated because my own parents were not even helping me. And inside, I screamed out, "I can't." And my father showed me, "Paul, you just said the word can't. How do you spell it?" My father reached in the midair and grabbed the letter T and just made a movement that ripped the T out of the word can't. And when we do that, we're left with, "Yes, I can." In fact, I forgot about the story for years until about 20 years later. I'm giving an assembly at a high school, and there was a girl in the back of the room, a ninth grader. She had her head down for the whole hour. I thought she was playing Game Boy. Why wasn't she looking at me? But at the end of the assembly, all the other students left the room. It was over. She finally looks up at me, walks a little unsteadily towards me, and says, "Paul, I also have cerebral palsy." I smiled at her and I said, "But it doesn't need to have you." I didn't think too much of that interaction until I received a thank you note 1 year later. This girl is now a sophomore, and she was writing a paper for her English class. And her paper was about people who inspired her in life. And she wrote it about me and that interaction. And then I thought about it. We have the same disability, pretty much the same level of severity. Why are personalities so different? And it occurred to me that my father was encouraging my independence at a young age. Maybe, perhaps, I don't know her family, but perhaps when she was 5 or 6 years old and she fell down, her family always picked her up, all right? And that was a difference, because independence must be taught at an early age. We cannot rely on somebody else to do something that we could do ourselves. And that is a big word called achievement. And going around different schools, companies, and colleges, and talking about what we can do instead of what we can't do, I guess that's my biggest dream in life, to do that.
And that is so, so powerful. Wow. I'm just going to ask this question again. You don't have to answer it. It just makes it easier for the editing process. Tell us about the first time that you learned to walk.
The first time I learned to walk. And the first time I walked was when I went into a toy store. When my mom holding my hand, when my mom and I got into toy store, she saw somebody she recognized, a young mother. And when you get two young mothers who love to chat, chances are you're not going anywhere anytime soon. And I certainly did not want to listen to them with toys all around me. So mom, let me go. And I got lost. I actually got lost in a toy store. How do you think my mom
probably nervous? Terrified? Because I got lost in a mall once, and there was and I didn't even have to. My grandma was right at the end of the aisle, and I didn't see her. But I got lost in a mall once, and I was terrified, and she was scared, and it was a big mess. So I can only imagine how she felt.
But my mom was thrilled I got lost. It doesn't make any sense, right? Why would a mother be thrilled when she could not find her young son in the whole store? Because for the first time in both of our lives, I walked away from her.
That That's amazing. You're trying to make me cry already.
Exactly. And my mom was proud because I reached a little achievement, a little victory in my dream of learning how to walk. I walked away from her. And I didn't realize it at the time because I wanted to build a car model. I love building car models. I was so concentrated on building car models that I did not recognize my victory. And mom did not point it out. She walked home with a big smile on her face. So over the years, my walking improved. And when I was 18, I finally got my driver's license. That was a milestone in my life. When you walk into a supermarket, a shop, mall, restaurant, movie theater with a big smile on your face, it's contagious. The world smiles back at you all the time. So when I'm learning how to drive, I'm looking around all the other drivers. Nobody is smiling.
Yeah, and probably no one is smiling, at least here, because they have to deal with crazy drivers. And if you break concentration for a second, your car is totaled. So.
Exactly. You have to deal with crazy drivers. You have to deal with road rage and stuff. Plan A. I can't drive like a grandma.
If I ever drive.
No, it's funny, but think about this. If you go on the highway 5 miles an hour slower than the other cars around you, there's one big
benefit. And quick story, my aunt who might listen to this, when my cousin, I don't drive yet. But when my older cousin started driving, because my aunt doesn't have any kids, so we were like her kids. And when my older cousin started driving, my aunt told her to be proud that she drives like a grandmother because at least she's driving responsibly. So we are in the proud grandmother / future grandmother drivers club. And no shame.
I totally agree with you. You drive with courtesy, with responsibility, and with patience. Patience is the key.
Yes. And so forgive me if this is a personal question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. And if you want us to cut it out, okay. We won't cut it out. But why was walking so important?
It's always been my dream. That's a good question. Why has walking been so important to me? When I was about 3 or 4 years old, I still could not walk. And I see everybody walking around and I'm beginning to think something's wrong with my legs. I want to be able to learn to walk like everybody else and like many people do. And it's just a sense of getting more independence. And I can't walk that far. But I can walk, and it's like a milestone and achievement in my life. But some people who have cerebral palsy cannot walk at all right? And I'm just lucky to be able to learn to walk, all right? But I'm not going to be a bodybuilder
Me neither.
Anytime soon.
I'm not going to be an Olympic figure skater, gymnast, or bodybuilder. So we're both in that club.
Exactly. We love to be one. In our dreams, we are always twirling around like figure skating a perfect 8 or something, or on the ballet stage, performing ballet, or singing, or dancing, our minds. It's okay to have dreams like that.
I have some dreams like that, but honestly, I've gotten to the point now where I'm in a wheelchair in my dreams too, and that's fine. But yeah, it's definitely okay to have dreams like that. Can I ask you, if this is too personal and you want us to cut it out, we'll cut it out. But do you ever regret learning how to walk? How far can you walk, first of all? And do you ever regret learning how to walk? or do you ever regret learning how to walk?
I can walk. My feet were turned inwards.
Do you think it was like a waste of time and energy to learn how to walk, or are you glad you did it?
I thought it was a waste of time beginning. All right. Some people cannot walk at all. All right. But what people do is focus on the wheelchairs, and they should not do that, because the wheelchairs do not have feelings. They do not have dreams. They do not have goals. It's a person inside the wheelchair that is so important. All right. I was very fortunate to be able to learn to walk. I don't consider it a matter of importance, all right? But it helped me become more independent, all right? And that's how I get around. I can't walk as well as a normal person. I wobble a lot. I keep my feet apart. And when you do that, you wobble. But in my mind, I'm walking like everybody else in my family.
Tell me about so do you use a wheelchair at all?
No, I don't use a wheelchair. I broke my femur about 3 years ago, and I had to use a wheelchair for about 3 to 4 months. And I eventually learned how to walk again.
Let me ask you, because the CP nerd in me is just very curious. What
Yes.
type of CP do you have, first of all?
I have a CP called ataxia, A-T-A-X-I-A. And it's a mild form. It is not really severe. And it just affects my arms, my talking. It affects my tongue a little bit, and it affects my legs mostly.
Okay, and what's the physical therapy process like to learn how to walk?
I went through a lot of physical therapy over the years. I had occupational therapy too, and speech therapy to help improve my talking and get rid of stuttering. I used to stutter all the time. I learned how to brush my teeth. That was a big deal. I learned how to brush my teeth when I was 12 years old, and I never used an electric toothbrush before, and my father got me one for a birthday gift when I was 12, but he never showed me how to use it. So the first time I held my mouth open, and I was spraying the mirror with all the toothpaste when I turned it on. And my father saw this. He ran back into the bathroom and said, "Paul, you're brushing the mirror. You're brushing your teeth. Then shut your mouth before you turn it on." So I did that. And I'm now 50 years old, and I still don't have one cavity.
That's amazing. Right? I'm curious. Do you use any kind of special toothpaste? Do you have any sensory issues with toothpaste? And if so, what type of toothpaste do you recommend?
No, I just use a regular Sonicare electric toothbrush. And I've used one for years. I also use Waterpik. And I floss, just take care of my teeth, but it's not a special toothpaste.
Okay.
Not a special.
Do you know of any sensory-friendly toothpaste?
Do I know of any sensory-friendly toothpaste?
It's okay if you don't.
I use a toothpaste called Closis. It's sulfate-free. I don't need all those bubbles now. I use a sulfate-free toothpaste. But I don't really have any sensory. My gums are receding a little bit, but it's no big problem. I can still eat ice cream. I can still eat drink hot liquid, so it's really no problem.
So tell us, you mentioned your parents in that last answer. What were your parents like? Were they supportive of you?
My parents were very supportive of my achievements, my goals. And my mom was especially supportive. She was the emotional type. She always wanted me to have fun. And it's very difficult to please my dad. He has given me confidence over the years. He has given me motivation and perseverance. But he never, rarely compliments me on a good job. I later learned that he tells all his friends about all the good things I've been doing, but never to me. So he just doesn't want me to get it into my head.
Yes, I guess that's why.
And to have a mother who's more emotional and a father who rarely shares his emotions, but is very confident and motivated. It's really the best combination of parents. I'm very lucky to have them. Yeah. My mom, she passed away about, thank you, but she's still very much alive.
Yeah.
And I feel he's living life through my eyes.
That's really sweet. So, on a completely different subject, what is your doctorate in?
That's a good question. My doctorate is in meteorology and environmental
science.
What got
you into that field?
I love it. I love the weather. It's the only career where you could be wrong and still keep your job.
That's funny.
Just a little humor.
How long did it take you to get the doctorate?
19 years.
It took you 19 years?
Yes, 4 years of college and about 15 years of graduate. The reason why it took that long was that during the school year, I was giving assemblies at schools. I was visiting different schools around my state, around the country, and giving presentation to keynotes about my disability. And doing speaking for all that time about overcoming our challenges and never giving up on them really meant a lot to me personally, because I felt like I was making a difference. And it felt really good to get away from the computer for the day and visit a school and give a presentation in front of a new class, in front of a new audience, and make the audience smile and believe in themselves and their goals. And I love doing that. It's my passion in life now.
That's awesome. So speaking of like your public speaking, you gave a TED Talk. Tell us about that TED Talk and how you got invited to speak at TEDx and all that stuff.
All right. I was invited to give a TED Talk about 3 or 4 years ago in a Long Island school, And it turns out that there was only one take. There were no reshoots allowed. So they were only filming in one take. The first take is what they're using. So the TED Talk comes from the heart. I didn't use any notes. And I focused the TED Talk on taking the dis out of the word disability. Because when you do that, you're left with ability. Everyone has abilities, but not everybody focuses on them like they should. And I just used myself as an example and shared with them my dream of learning how to walk and skydiving, jumping out of a plane. And I love doing that. I did that twice. I didn't tell my parents for a whole month that I actually jumped out of a plane.
So for the record, I do not want to jump out of a plane ever, so you can have that one. And what made you want to jump out of a plane? I have to ask.
I'm terrified of heights. And I figure that one way to get over the fear is to confront it directly. And my friend asked me, out of the blue, I was at a restaurant having dinner. He asked me out of the blue, Paul, how would you like to jump out of a plane? And I said, you gotta be nuts. I'd rather land with a plane, not jump out of it.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. And then I would have said, don't ask me that again.
It was hilarious. And he convinced me. He said, I've seen your school assemblies. What would your students think if you shared with them a video of your skydive? What would they think? And I said, you got a point there. Count me in. But I didn't tell my family. I did not tell my family until a month after my skydive. But it's interesting. I was pushed out of the plane. I didn't jump out. I was pushed out. And I'm falling at 200 feet a second. For 1 minute, you can scream. If you open your mouth and choke on the air, they have to shut your mouth and just hang up. And then after the parachute opened, it was, wow, it was just amazing. It was so silent. I looked to my left and there was Atlantic City. I looked to my right and there was Philadelphia. So I saw all of New Jersey below me, a mile up in the air. I'm a mile high, about 5,200 feet. And I look down, all of New Jersey is below me. And I'm thinking, this is our only home. This is where each of us are born. We live our lives in different towns, in different states, different countries. And unfortunately, this is where we end our lives too. If this is our only home, why does hate, greed, intolerance, and violence exist when all we need to do is open our hearts to love, kindness, respect for those who are different? And when we learn about others, doesn't that erase fear? Doesn't that make people more comfortable around people that are different from us?
Okay, bye guys. See you next week. No, I'm just kidding. But that's, wow. So another cool fact about you is that your cousin is Rachel Platten. Tell us about that.
Yes, my cousin is Rachel Platten. She's a singer. And one of her songs is Fight Song. Is a song that helps the listener find courage and inner strength inside. And in much the same way, I use my voice for a different reason. I can't sing. I would scare everybody out of the house. Yeah, it's funny. I would scare everybody out of the house. I don't have
me too, by the way.
Voice. Yeah, I'll leave the singing to Rachel. I mean, I don't sing, but I use my voice in a similar way and share stories and give presentations, you know, so that's my goal. And it's pretty cool to have a family member who just promotes love for each other. We're a loving family. We exude love, unconditional love, towards others, and we must learn to love ourselves before we can love others.
That's awesome. Wow.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I'll tell Rachel when you say hello.
Please do. That's awesome. I would love to hear from her. We are almost at the end of our time, so I have a few rapid fire questions for you. Would you like to answer them?
Okay.
Fill in the blank, inclusion is?
Including everybody together.
And what has got you hopeful?
What's got me hopeful is a positive attitude. when you have positive attitude, the sky is the limit, and you don't need to jump out of a plane to prove it.
And where can people find you on social media?
I have my own website, which I designed myself. It's my favorite Billy Joel song, www.justthewayyouare.com.
Okay, Paul, this is truly, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, this is truly one of the most inspiring conversations we've ever done. And I don't even have words for you, to be honest. And I want to speak for a living doing this. So that is hard to pull off, but I really don't have any words for you. We will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. And always keep smiling. It makes people wonder what
you're up to. Bye, guys. See you next episode.
Thanks for listening to Wheel With It. You can support the show by visiting our website, wheelwithit.com, following us on social media, and financially supporting us. You can find all those links in the show notes. See you next time.